That was Randy Weston, the great man, unfortunately also late. He died at the age of 92, 2 years ago in New York City. That's something he called Marrakesh Blues on piano and with a list of great musical achievements and artistic achievements at the time of his death. A long list. Randy Weston. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off with each other just yesterday. And I'm wondering, does a battalion of military units have to be dispatched to pick up Donald Trump and put him in isolation somewhere, Rudy Giuliani and others who are helping him through this period and supposedly under the guise that they're taking care of business, serious business, questioning the legality of the decision that he lost the election to Joe Biden, are doing all kinds of crazy things, really insane things. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody is just flabbergasted that this is the conduct that is being tolerated. And most specifically, in the immediate aftermath of the election, when there was more than enough evidence that Trump had lost the election, Biden had won, and they went through the procedures of challenging the votes and the legitimacy of votes, and they wanted recounts, and they did all of that. And still, this president is out of control. The latest wrinkle is that his group, they're acting like thugs now. I mean, just out and out thugs, intimidating people. And one of them that they have selected to intimidate is a woman named Emily Murphy. She heads up the General Services Administration. The GSA essentially is the agency that allocates funds to agencies so they can do their work and supervises that. That's what they do. And how they do that is first, they authenticate the results of the election or an election to see that everything was in order, that the election was free and fair. And she did that. They looked at the figures, they looked at the evidence, they questioned people, they talked to people and all of that stuff. And it was found that the election, the win by Biden, was a free and fair election. And therefore, the GSA would now release, this is if things went the way they usually go, the GSA would now release money and funds and grant authority to the incoming administration to set up their new administration. But no. It's reported in the news that Trump has been calling the GSA person who heads up the agency, Emily Murphy, essentially bombarding her with questions and with a demand. She should not legitimize this election, according to the reports. Trump does not want her to legitimize or to sign off, give the final sign off that after all of this upheaval and the recounts that were done and the looking at books and investigating of books and whatnot, all of that having been done, she was satisfied that this was a free and fair election. And the transference of power should occur. Trump should hand over whatever he has to hand over to the incoming president and get lost. And Biden should be able to take the reins of his office and start doing what a newly elected president is expected to do, to set up his administration and to proceed. Now, normally, as you know, this is not an extraordinary thing to do. This is very much the norm. This is what is expected. In a presidential race, someone will lose, someone will win. And the expectation is that the person, I'm hearing little noises here now, that the person who loses would bow out gracefully, try as much as possible to make the transition as uneventful as possible, and even in some cases to help smooth the path for the incoming president, but not this president. It's a calamity after calamity and chaos and unruliness and craziness. And now the direct contact that the president seems to be making with this poor woman who only wants to do her job and she wants to follow the law. That's all she wants to do. But she's getting bombarded with these calls from Trump, basically intimating that if she signs off on this election, if she approves and says Biden has the all clear, all T's are crossed, all I's are dotted, and you can begin finally to take charge of the country as president of the United States, according to the law. She is the one who certifies the results of an election. Her office has gone through the records and so forth. They are satisfied that everything seems to be in order, even though Trump and his people had made a big stink about it, alleging all kinds of irregularities and massive fraud. And they demanded recounts and recounts of the recounts. So now he is personally intimidating the person who heads up the GSA, saying, you should not sign off on this election. There's still so much wrong with this election, and you should not sign off because the results are illegal and fraudulent. He's saying all this, as is Rudolph Giuliani, his lapdog, without not a scintilla of proof. They've had enough time, if in fact there was such rampant fraud in this election, to produce some proof, but they haven't. They just keep making these specious charges and behaving like a band of thugs. And they're being allowed to do it. This is what bothers me. It's not like there isn't a way to stop this. It's not like they cannot be challenged. In court yesterday, Giuliani himself admitted, no, they don't have proof. They don't have things to back up certain statements that they have made alleging rampant fraud. They don't have any proof. They just keep making the statements and causing a calamity. And that is exactly what they intended to do, to create a national crisis, which would take away from the fact that Biden has won. He should be allowed to proceed like any other candidate who wins a presidential election. He should proceed to crank things up in his administration and to go about his business. But now we have these thugs. I mean, they're actually acting like thugs. Lawyers don't act this way. You don't have people, a former president, making personal calls himself, and we know what that means. It's a sign of intimidation, making this woman's life a living hell, and now she doesn't know what to do because she has already determined the election was free and fair. All she has to do is to sign the final papers with all of these investigations having been completed. Nothing showed up, no evidence whatsoever. And now she should be able to sign off on the election and let Biden get to work. But this is what's going on. It's bad enough. I mean, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's saying they can't imagine that the United States has come to this thuggery in the, you know, on the part of the former president, trying to intimidate a bureaucrat. All she wants to do is her job. And you know what comes behind that? If Trump himself is picking up the phone and intimating that he would not be pleased if she should certify that this election went well and it's above board, the results are fine and above board, they have the all clear because they talked to people, they examined the reports and the papers and so forth, and they are at the point where they can receive final certification so power could be transferred, Biden could begin his work, and the, you know, life goes on. That means, and you don't have to dig too deep to find this answer, when a former president behaves this way, he's sending a signal. Feel free to threaten this woman's life. Feel free to chase her down and make her life a living hell if it doesn't turn out that Trump has won another term. Feel free to treat her poorly and endanger her life. That's what it means. So have we gone to the absolute end of things where there's no redemption for Trump at this point? There's no redemption for this process. And curiously, the Republicans aren't saying a damn thing. Nobody's condemning Trump for behaving this way. Nobody's pointing out that this country has never had a history of this kind of behavior on the part of a president. And he should be publicly chastised. And I would go so far as to say, to issue an order against the president that any further personal contact with the GSA administrator, the General Services Administration, would be regarded as harassment and intimidation and an attempt to force her to post an outcome to the election that may not be, in fact, legitimate and true. She has already determined that it looks okay from what they have. They have already done their investigation and they've talked to different people. They've seen documents and so forth, and it all looks good. But this would be the final step to sign the piece of paper that gives the authority on the part of the GSA to give Biden official permission to begin his administration. This is what this country has come to. And the Republican Party is saying nothing. Congress, for that matter, is saying nothing. All those people who value law and order, they're saying nothing. They simply are allowing this president to do whatever the heck he wants to do. And giving him, you know, as much space as he needs to do it. So I'm asking you the question, you know, am I going insane here? That this absolutely should not be allowed? The president has to account for this. Action must be taken against him. He must be censured. He must be disciplined by some authority. You cannot do this. I know you think you own the country and the rest of the world. But there are laws, and you, Mr. President, Mr. Former President, are subject to those laws as well. But when we have this blatant disregard for the law, and now he has escalated it to personal intimidation, and again, that in turn opens the doors for other people, his so-called followers, to take the initiative to go further and make real threats against her life. We have a problem. Houston, we do have a problem. So I'm asking you, what do you think needs to be done here? Apparently, nobody knows what should be done. They're puzzled. They're flummoxed. They have no idea how to solve this problem. It is so deep. It's so complex. It's so terrifying in its implications. Nobody knows how to solve this problem. Well, you will help us come to some kind of understanding at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Should we let Trump get away with this? And Giuliani and the minions, are they to get away now with basically dispatching the goon squad on people who are simply doing their jobs and trying to do it the right way? All right. Let's start with Walter from Virginia. You're on the air, Walter. Welcome.
Yes, good afternoon, Utrice, and good afternoon to the Stories family.
Thank you.
Yeah, I called last week and I had said in the response to your question about why Trump was not conceding that he was actually working some backdoor deals, back channel deals to try to get the federal, not the state, but the federal lawsuits dismissed, which I feel is a fairly low bar because they're fairly weak anyway. But long story short, he's actually playing a few cards. That's one of them. And the other card is fundraising. The longer he can contest that the election was final with trumped up charges, then he can raise money for himself and the RNC. Because this money is coming in from his base, basically to support his assertions of fraud, he's able to take some of that money for himself, and then his Republican circle is also able to take some of that money. So like him or not, the Republicans know that Trump is a huge, huge, huge fundraiser. Now, in terms of what can be done, I think the Democrats, as I stated, who are weak and ineffective, are just going to play a waiting game and just let it...
Well, here's the issue. The issue is it has already been concluded that his allegations have no merit. He has not been able in any of the cases in which he's charging rampant fraud to produce not even one credible instance of fraud. He hasn't been able to do that. Certainly within the Republican Party, there ought to be some kind of mechanism that says, you don't own this party. You can't do what you want. You can't make assertions that you know to be false. And for Giuliani, a so-called officer of the court, to join Trump in this conspiracy to hoodwink or attempt to hoodwink election officials that there's this massive fraud. There ought to be a price for that.
You're absolutely right. And that price is in the terms of money, which is the lifeblood of any political party or organization. I think from the judiciary standpoint that they should dismiss these nuisance lawsuits with prejudice, meaning that there is some type of monetary penalty associated with them that would go against the Trump campaign and the Republican Party. As I stated before, as long as the money is coming in the coffers, they will support Trump, even though they despise his character. They admire his ability to raise money and fund the RNC. The other part in terms of the director...
Let me just say this to address the point you just made. But that is not a 100% permission. You can't say, well, I'm raising money to pay off my political debts. You also have to prove that. You know, Trump, of all people, the liest president in the history of the United States, is to be trusted that the money is going to pay off his political debts?
Well, when people donate that are in his base, they're hearing his message that the election was stolen. So from an emotional level...
So this is my point. If they're hearing the message, but the party knows that that is incorrect, and is doing nothing. That is false.
That's my point, because they want the money. Morality, righteous, and justice.
You want the money? Pay the price. Because
yes,
now
absolutely.
You're raising funds under false pretenses. You're lying to people in order to generate funds. You have no further need to raise funds. And if you do, you have to prove it to somebody. Some kind of court needs to know. You can't just say, well, you know, I just ran for president. I still have a lot of bills. It doesn't work that way. These funds are regulated, and you have, you know, they involve taxes, how much taxes you have to pay and what how much in arrears are you on your taxes as a candidate? Show us your papers. Show us your records. We need to go to your records. show us your bank accounts. This is not a joke. This is larceny on a big scale.
But the law without enforcement is no law. So who is going to enforce those points you just made? If it's not the Democratic
Federal
Party.
The Federal Elections Commission and all agencies concerned. The president is no longer a candidate. If he is to still raise funds, that permission has to be granted. And he has to prove that he still needs to raise funds to pay off his debts. He doesn't have the automatic right to go out there and tell people, send me money.
Well,
this
again,
is, don't forget, an inveterate liar.
Absolutely. But if they don't make those allegations, if they don't raise those enforcement points and enact them, then obviously he's going to get away with it and keep doing it.
Right. In which case, I think the people are justified. Once they see the lay of the land and they understand what is going on, they have a right to turn on the party, to turn away from it, and even from the process, because they would be supporting, aiding, and abetting larceny and lies and theft.
Agreed,
the
lying
president of the United States expects to be believed right now.
Understood.
In the matter of give me some cash.
But in order for them to do that, and my final point, and I'll hang up, is they must let go of their win at all costs mentality. Thank you, Teresa.
Yes, but pay the price at all costs, too. You're caught. And when caught, we prosecute you, and you pay the price to the fullest. That is also part of the equation. Thanks for getting us started today. Duke from Jersey City, you're on the air.
Hey, Therese.
Hello.
Okay, so you're not going to agree with this call. But I listened to you now for the last 30 minutes.
Don't predict what I will or will not agree with. You don't know my mind.
Okay.
All right.
So at the same time I'm listening to you, for the last hour, I've been watching this news conference with the Trump lawyers, and it's not on CNN and MSNBC are not covering it at all. But Fox and Newsmax is covering it, right? So the red team is covering it. The blue team's not.
That's the official outlet for the Trump campaign.
Exactly.
No,
I know.
I want to repeat this because it needs to be made clear. No news outlet with any integrity would pretend that this is a legitimate news conference and give it.
That's where I disagree with you, because all the different agencies are in the audience. CNN, their reporter is there. So they're covering it. They're just not showing it on TV. But that's not what I want to say. That's not the point that I want to make. You know, you are a journalist, Utrecht, and I would think that you would want to hear all the evidence that is available to make to come to your conclusion. And it seems to me like you're doing exactly what CNN and MSNBC is doing. Okay.
Well, maybe you should.
Let me finish.
Please hurry up. We don't have all day.
So you're a journalist, and you keep saying that there's no evidence.
Correct.
He has just spent an hour giving you an hour's worth of evidence. So why don't you watch
it's
this first
not, you were
and then come to
you
a conclusion
were,
instead of listening to somebody else? Why don't you watch this?
You were fooled and you were caught. If they had
I'm not fooled and I'm not caught because
they did not have the evidence you swear that they have because they presented it to you. Why didn't they present it to the court?
They
why
are presented,
present
Utrice. Why don't you watch? Utrice, listen. I voted for Biden, okay? I'm not trying to stand up for Trump.
I don't care who you voted for. I'm saying.
Okay, but what I'm saying to you is, Utrice,
was that the election was massively fraudulent. And they made all these charges about instances of that fraud. Why?
He just laid out instance after instance for more than an hour. And for you as a journalist to not want to hear that, I just think you're being blind.
Pardon me, please, for
okay, go ahead.
While you're busy interrupting. It is one thing to stand up in front of a bunch of microphones and talk into it and say, here we have this, here we have that. These are fraudulent claims. They're fraudulent claims. They're not
Utrice,
legitimate
claims. He has affidavits in his hand. What are you talking about? They're fraudulent.
You can have affidavits if you want. They needed to have the affidavits at the time that they were demanded, and they should have had those affidavits, if they were real, to present to the court, not to a bunch of microphones. You see,
so you're telling me everything that he just laid out for an hour is a fraud?
Have they talked for 400 hours?
It's fraud. It's all a fraud.
They are fraudulent. Because they know what they're talking about now as so-called evidence, they did not have it to present to the court. When they, in fact, made, at the time they made these charges, they presented nothing to the court to validate those charges. They're a bunch of schemers. And they should lose their licenses, actually. And, you have Rudolph Giuliani, a former prosecutor who doesn't seem to know the law. The court demanded this, that they produce evidence at the time that they made their allegations and at the time that the case was being heard. Where is your evidence? They produced nothing. Giuliani himself said they don't have anything. And now we have seasoned reporters who should know better actually giving license and legitimacy to a total sham of a demonstration to legitimize a false claim.
They could talk for hours.
Where they needed to talk for hours was in the court, and they couldn't do that, and they didn't.
They're not
do that.
Done with the court process yet, Utrecht.
The court is done with them. The court.
No, it's not. They're still filing lawsuits.
They're still talking nonsense. You could file lawsuits if you want. You've lost the window of opportunity to do so legitimately. There's a new administration that is supposed to take hold of the reins of power very soon. Everything has a timetable. You don't get to say, well, eventually we'll give you some evidence. No, the court is operating on a timetable. You had started this whole thing by saying, we have evidence. We have mountains of proof. Yeah, well, where did the proof go? Don't play with me. You're right. I'm a seasoned reporter. I would never have found myself sitting in front of this charade pretending.
But have you investigated any of the things that he just laid out in the last hour, like about the Dominion software and all of that? Have you looked into that?
He raised these things before. They produced no proof.
So I'm asking, did you research?
He's repeating the same lies again, and in fact insulting the intelligence of reporters who really know how to report.
So you're telling me basically there's four lawyers up there just lying on international TV. That's what you're saying?
Okay. Was Rudolph Giuliani there?
No, there were four lawyers. Four different lawyers.
Is Rudolph Giuliani
and they're all
there?
Just lying.
Was Donald Trump there?
No. I think this woman...
They will get some people and say, these are lawyers. So what? So what? You're a lawyer. You're a bad lawyer. You're a rotten lawyer. If you can't decide, based on how things are going, that you're being set up. They just need you there to legitimize lies, to say, oh yes, we have lawyers. Well, your time, lawyers should be very much aware of time. You have a time by which to respond. There's a time in which this investigation was going to be done. You have a time to produce your evidence, because on the basis of that, they now will take it further and launch a whole investigation. They don't have all year to wait until you good and ready. If you make charges and you have nothing to back them up with, not even up to this point, you could say you're a lawyer all you want.
You keep saying that they have nothing to back it up. Why don't you watch the news conference yourself first?
I am not watching the news conference.
So then you're just saying something based on your bias, not based on a journalistic approach. You're not acting like a journalist here.
Some of us journalists know what the hell we're doing. Some of
that's
us.
Not what you taught me. You taught me to question everything.
Yeah,
and you're
learning,
not questioning
you're
everything
you're
in
learning
this case.
How the thing works. But after a while, do you think I will waste my time to attend a news conference by Donald Trump? You really think I would do that?
Okay, let somebody else get in here, Utrice. We're taking up enough time. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks a lot. Pat from New York City. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. Good afternoon, Lead Stories family.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I would like to propose a somewhat radical, cynical answer to your question. First of all, I'd like to say that no, I don't think any kind of bullying or thuggishness or whatever is ever appropriate. But I would like to suggest, and this is just for people to please just consider this position, that Trump, he knows that the election was stolen. It's just he thought it was going to be stolen for him. And when you look at it from that perspective, he's not insane. He's angry. And also, all of the people...
Just repeat that sentence slowly and then translate it, because I got a little bit lost there.
That the election was stolen, it's just that it was not stolen for him. And he was convinced it was going to be stolen for him. I would like to encourage everyone to see a film called The Great Hack, H-A-C-K. It's on Netflix, and it's also, you can find it on YouTube. And it describes how...
Let's deal with what you are asserting, rather than what you're suggesting that people go and watch this film. That's not what this program is for.
I'm
interested
is that our elections are stolen. Our elections are stolen. And Donald Trump is angry because he thought the election was going to be stolen for him.
How do you know this?
And and it turned out to be stolen for Biden. Please, may I just get my thoughts out? You know, I'm nervous to be on the radio.
I'm trying to get my thoughts out. Well, you've been giving
your thoughts the whole time. You know, I'm trying to propose something for people to just think about.
Yes, and I'm asking you to let us in on the basis of which,
You shut me down. I was saying it's described in a film called The Great Hack, and I was going to explain what that means. And what it means is that you can sway an election with only between 3% and 6% of the vote, and they originally did that with the Obama election. They went to social media. Well, they're able to. They're able.
Can you allow me, please, to a word or two edgewise? You're so consumed with the idea of promoting a film that you can't.
I'm not trying to promote a film. I'm not trying to promote a film. I'm just saying that if you look at it from the point of view of all of the Republicans, that maybe
all the time people
from Trump
insist on interrupting
like this.
While you
Trump is acting
speak.
Like this because Goodbye. He thought the election
Goodbye.
Was going
to
be swung in his favor. Well, anyway, I just hope that the
do...
listening audience can consider
Goodbye,
that.
Goodbye, ma'am.
All.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air. Ed, are you there? Ed is not there. Pat from New York City, you're on the air.
Hello, you three. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. What happened to you?
Hello. I don't know. I'm trying to get to you. I thought you could hear me. I was laughing at the previous call. I mean, it's this country is definitely in interesting times, I tell you.
Yes, it is.
The bottom line is we knew this guy was going to do this. And the real sad thing, about this situation is we're in the middle of a pandemic. And unless there is a smooth transition, whether you believe in the vaccine, whether you believe in the virus, people are dying. 1,500 people died last week. Close to 1,900 people died. People are getting this disease, whatever you want to call it, whatever conspiracy theory you want to chalk it up to. And action needs to be taken in a quick and concise manner. And because of this nonsense, it's not going to happen. And that's the sad part about it. And once again, minorities suffer. I mean, we could argue left, right, and center how Trump feels or what this or what that is. The bottom line is you lost. There's a process for the transition of power, whether you like this government or not, whether you want to take issue with the legitimacy of this government or not. There's a process. And that process must be adhered to. And this guy is breaking the law. And he needs to be brought up on criminal charges. Personally, I put him in jail. For harassment and for indirect homicide due to incompetence and a depraved indifference to human life as he's holding up these processes and stopping the care that people will need to get through this trying time. I mean, that's what we got to look at. We can't look at all of these other asides and the nonsense. We can't fall into the BS. The bottom line is the guy is going to cause people to die and he needs to go.
Amen. Amen. It's as simple as that.
That's
and
it.
Somewhere there ought to be a countervailing power within the Republican Party or within the court system or somewhere it ought to exist that will compel Donald Trump to cease and desist this behavior until things are sorted out. But
well,
he
cannot be
calling people up and basically intimidating them to not do their jobs.
That brings me to my second point. That is, this country lacks moral fiber. This country lacks the ability to generate any type of good leadership. I mean, on both sides of the fence, there should have been a deafening roar of people saying, hey, man, What are you doing? And nobody on his party, Democrat, Republican, government should be in an uproar. This should not be allowed. And the people need to remember this come election time, come transition time. We can't let our consciousness, we can't let our memory fade. These leaders have failed us miserably, and they need to be brought into account. And we can't forget this. We cannot forget this.
You know, we still have people swearing because Trump said so, or the lawyers said so in court, as if that is even relevant at this time. The fact is, when they were supposed to produce their evidence, they didn't. And they admitted they didn't have any. This is the lyingest. They have no shame, this administration.
But I'm not even looking at them. I'm looking at the government and the people around them. I mean, you know, how dare you say that you are a public servant? How dare you say that you represent democracy, that you represent the ideals? I mean, call me a traditionalist, whatever you want. But then sometimes you got to make a stand. This guy should be in jail. I mean, how dare you, especially during this time? Whatever you believe is going on, we need some dynamic leadership. We need people that are willing to sacrifice and say, look, man, this is wrong. Stop it, or we're going to bring you up on criminal charges. Because, like you said earlier, he foments these fringe groups to do stupid stuff. And this is how things like Timothy McVeigh, this is how things like the Aryan Nation and the Klan manifest themselves. Because a bunch of stupid people who don't really realize what life is about will take this as for real and try to enact something in the auspices of some type of fake patriotism or something like that. This is very disturbing.
It's very disturbing, and the silence is deafening. The silence is deafening. I was hoping that one courageous Republican or Democrat or progressive, somebody would step forward and say, this has crossed a line. We're not going to tolerate it. But nobody's talking.
They're empty suits. They're men without chests.
Thanks a lot, Ed, for your call today. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, you trees, how's it going?
Okay, how's by you?
All right. So, in response to Duke from New Jersey, I actually wasted my hour watching that press conference because I was intrigued about what evidence came up, and I'm gonna tell you, Trees, they had a bunch of affidavits that they didn't want to mention the names, a bunch of legal documents of people testifying, but they didn't want to mention who they were because of the fact that they were, quote unquote, being threatened. Now, understand this. I'm not a lawyer. I may play one on TV, but I'm not a lawyer. So my amateur legal opinions are, affidavits in some courts, and in particular, I think in this case too, they cannot be submitted as admissible evidence unless the person who signed it actually testifies in court. So for me, that to me does not count as evidence. And if you ask me, and I said this before, this sounds much like the 2016 Russian interference claims, which didn't have evidence as well. And I would go as far as to say is they may have had more of a claim than this one, even though they didn't really have a solid claim. But, I mean, Utrecht, it is just absolutely crazy out here what they're doing. And there was a reason why a lot of news outlets, and don't get me wrong, news outlets are very biased on certain things, but there was a reason why a lot of news outlets did not cover the video of the press conference, because it was baseless and it was claimless. I watched an hour of it, and I want it back. I want my hour back.
Now, the thing is, you could tell long before the charade actually is put on, this was for show, for people who don't know how the process works. And no self-respecting, as I said, no self-respecting reporter or news agency or news company would find themselves sitting there supposedly covering this non-event. Nobody. With a working brain. With any kind of experience would be covering this nonsense.
And you, Trees, don't get me wrong. I'm still a student, still learning. I was a little confused, and I was, going into it like, okay, let's see what evidence do they have. And Giuliani rambled on about affidavits that were signed, but he can't say anything about it. And it was just basically hearsay, according to legal opinion. It's just basically hearsay.
Like I just said, Giuliani himself admitted they didn't have any evidence. But there he is, going through the motions as if, the charade. Let me see if these people are so dumb to actually believe that this is a real news conference taking place outside of the court. No, that's where that belongs in the court. That's part of the court fight. If it were legitimate.
So as a lead story correspondent, I watched it, and I didn't find anything that was substantiable. So put that on the books, you trees.
Well, I tell you this, as a lead stories correspondent, your instinct not only kicked in, but your common sense kicked in, your power of observation, your powers of observation kicked in. And you perform perfectly because you knew intuitively there is nothing here. And then you looked around and you said, well, wait a minute. If this was to be a very serious news conference, why is it I'm the only one with a notebook?
Yeah. Well, I want my hour back, you trees. You got to pay me double for this.
All right. I will. Good job. Good job. Because you really brought it all together. Your instinct. You knew this couldn't be real. This is not worth covering. Nobody who's been around, even in the casual way in the court system, would take this case seriously. Nobody. So there you are. You passed the test, and you have my great esteem and admiration. You did a fabulous job. Thanks a lot for calling. Thanks for contributing today. Well, that brings us to the end of our program. Use your head. Use the brain that's in it. And it is not there for other people to put to use for their purposes. This is not an honorable man. These are not honorable people. And they've proven that time and again. What do you think of a president who would call a bureaucrat and basically intimate, even by suggestion, I'm calling you directly. I have you in my sights. What kind of action is that? That is condemnable. And we should have a system here with all the talk they talk about, the justice and equality and blah, 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 follow the law and all of that stuff. And nobody has said a word about a president acting like a thug, like a gangster, and a former mayor who used to be a federal prosecutor. He wasn't good. And I used to say that. I covered, he is not a good lawyer. And he repeatedly proved me right. But people fell for this thing and Rudolph Giuliani this and Rudolph Giuliani that. I was a better lawyer than Rudolph Giuliani. And I didn't go to law school. The man has already admitted he has no evidence. If he had it, he would have produced it, and he would have produced it on time. There were deadlines because there is a president waiting in the wings, voted for by the people to do the work. And he's ready and he's waiting. And you're wasting time with this charade? And people are supposed to be okay with that? Get out of here. As they say in Brooklyn, get out of here. Get out of here. I tell you, they have no shame. They have no pride in themselves as professionals. I just could not imagine anybody, and I'm so glad that Henry confirmed that so many reporters just were not putting up with this nonsense and taking it seriously as a news conference. They know. We know. We know these things. And sometimes you have to take the hint. They may not be saying anything, but only those news outlets that now routinely are used as Trump outlets. Only those people were covering the story because that's what they were told to do. No reporter with any degree of self-respect and pride in his work or her work would subject him or herself to that kind of stuff. No, we just dismiss it. Move on. Thank you for joining me today. Let's talk again tomorrow, being Free Your Mind Friday. You could talk some more about it. The time is yours tomorrow, as usual. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.